You've probably noticed non-Christians and even Christians struggle to get along. Pastor Jeff says people are watching how we're acting and reacting, so be mindful of that.
Christians seem to have a hard time loving one another. They talk about one another. They will gossip about one another. They will slander one another. And the Lord knew this. He says, you guys, they are listening to you. They are watching you. They are hearing you. So be careful not to do these things, but follow my example of loving everybody.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You may recall it was Jesus that said, occupy till I come. So what was he driving at? Or maybe that has left you wondering, how do we do that? Well, that is exactly where today's sound doctrine will prove to be helpful. Pastor Jeff Johnson is about to open 1 Peter chapter 4 and unveil a few things that we're to be doing in the last days. In case you haven't noticed, we are in the last days. So let's lean in and hear what Pastor Jeff has to say.
So for me to live is Christ, Paul said to, what? To die is gain? Wow. Paul, what did you know? That it's better to just go home to be with the Lord, but I'm going to stick around for you guys, for your sakes, for right now. That's what Paul said, until they take me. And they took him, and they chopped his head off. That's it. But man, he left us with so much. Peter, they crucified him upside down. Why that? Why? Because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And he was crucified upside down. Peter, writing this to us, to encourage us, to comfort us with the word of comforts. So Peter now is giving us these 10 commandments for a balanced life till he comes. This is important. How to occupy, you know, because Jesus said, occupy till I come. Okay, what are we to do? Well, Peter says, I'm going to spell it out to you, and we're going to cover three of them. Number one is sober. Be sober. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of discipline, disciplined mind, of power in the Holy Spirit. That's over in 2 Timothy 1:7. We're not to be ignorant. We're to be intelligent in God's word, knowing what's coming. Over in Luke 21, it says this in verse 34, take heed to yourselves. And so we need to do that. Take a moment to take heed of yourself, what you're doing right now, how you're living right now, lest at any time your hearts would be overcharged or taken over with surfeiting. The surfeiting is not surfing, it's surfeiting. It's you're going to start messing around. You're going to start letting go. You're going to start backsliding and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day will come upon you unawares. Wait a minute. No, they're gone. Christians are gone. Remember the two laying in bed, one waking up, looking over, and the one that was there is gone? One working in the field, one was taken, the other was left. Wow. And then in verse 35 of Luke 21, he says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. All of a sudden, like a trap that sets off, it'll take place. But it'll be a snare to the world. It won't be a snare to us as Christians. We're going to be ready. We're going to be looking up. So don't be distracted on how bad it is. No, I think we need to, you don't go to the restaurant today and have lunch with the brothers and all. You know, you can't even go to the restaurant. Forget that. When you order out and have to sit in the street and eat your meal, don't talk about how Newsom this and Newsom that, or the president this or this, or Biden this. Don't go there. Why waste your time with that? That's just bunk. We don't know what's going to happen. Come on. And we're trying to figure it out. We're just talking about, we're going to solve the problems of the world. You are? No. You need to talk about how soon he's coming, how quickly the Lord could come back, and there's an urgency upon the church of the Lord in these last days. And if you don't feel that urgency, you pray that God will give you that urgency, because that urgency will save souls, will cause you to become bold and brave, and to even to be able to bring it up in a situation where you're talking to somebody, and they'll listen. And seeds will be planted. Somebody will water. And, you know, God will give the increase. Come on. We got to be Johnny Appleseed. Let's get the seeds out there. Let's start spreading the word around. Others are taking care of their part. We need to do our part. So notice he says the second thing. Number one, be sober. The second thing is what? Be in prayer, right? He says, verse 7, and watch unto prayer. Get your eyes on him. Over in Luke 21 again, in verse 36, it says, watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So be in prayer. I like how James kind of finishes that. He says, be patient as the farmer is patient for the up-and-coming crop. But be ye patient and put your hearts towards the Lord. Now, verse 8. Boy, we covered a lot of territory here. Okay, verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And above all, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Here's the third thing. Continue on with brotherly love to one another. That's sacrificial love. That's God's love. That's agape. Giving without any return. It's sacrificial giving. He gave his son, and all that he did was to take care of us, to save us. There was one requirement, and that is to receive the sacrifice of when God gave his son. And you shall be born again. You'll become a child of God. Wow. That is, he freely gave his only begotten son. John says it this way in John 13. John was very close with the Lord. And in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment, Jesus says, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another. That to there, to one another, is an adjective, or no, it's a preposition. It means action. So where is our action to one another? Why one another? Because the Lord knew our hardest thing in being a Christian is getting along with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul, he reads off all these things that he went through. I was struck this many times with a whip. I was shipwrecked this many times. They stoned me this time. You know, one thing after another, the very last thing it says, and taking care of the church of the Lord. That was his last burden, you know, that he had. Why? Because Christians seem to have a hard time loving one another. They talk about one another. They will gossip about one another. They will slander one another. And the Lord knew this. He says, you guys, they are listening to you. They are watching you. They are hearing you. So be careful not to do these things, but follow my example of loving everybody. And so love the unlovable and let it go. Don't talk about them. Don't communicate with others about them. It just hurts the witness. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." You see, when we put on love, there's a completion there. There's a finishing there. That's so beautiful. So be sober, be in prayer, have a fervent, intense, eager love for each other. You say, well, why is that so important? Because what? Love covers how many sins? Love covers it all. Love always covers it all. And we need to stay in that place of love in these days, because there's always that temptation of the enemy saying, they treated you bad. They talked about you. And you know what they said? And you know what they're going to do? You know, and just, you got to let it go. Why mess with it? It's just trouble. And yet, for some reason, I had a bad day. I kicked the dog and I'm going to kick you. You know, we get uptight, especially these days. Road rage is going. It's crazy. People aren't backing off. People are just moving, and we need to back off. We need to be like Christ. We need to be Christian in what we do and how we do things. So, love covers a multitude. Father, he said on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, he could have done so much, but he didn't. Why? Because people don't understand when they're cruel, when they're argumentative, when they're stabbing you in the back. They don't understand what they're doing. And how should we take it? Well, I'm waiting for them, and I'm going to get them back. I don't get back, I get even. And that's the attitude. No, not in this house, not in this place. Enough. We're to love and forgive one another. That is going to cause a thriving to take place. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians, which is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, he says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Hope all things. Love hopes all things. Hopes that it'll be good. Hopes that this person will be good. Endures all things. I endure it. I bear with it. I believe the best in that person, not the worst. Listen to what he's saying. This is important. With all relationships, his love through us never fails. Now, his love forgives, and he not only forgives, God does one more thing. What does he do? Forgets. So he forgives you, and then he forgets all about you. Wipes the slate clean. I love it. If any of you have sinned, you need to confess your sin. He is just and faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to make you new and fresh. And he forgets what you did. Not that we would play games with God, but that we would be serious and really, truly humble ourselves and confess and turn away from that sin and walk out of here just, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm giving it to him. I'm going to ask him for help. And so what does this love do? It destroys all gossip, all slander. His love covers a multitude of sin. But it isn't blind. It isn't a blind love. It's perceptive, yet it overlooks what it sees. Do you get me? It overlooks what it sees. Oh, that's really bad what you did. But guess what? I'm going to overlook it. I'm not even going to remember it. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses a man from all sin. So powerful. And to be right with God, there's nothing better than to have peace with God. There's just such a joy about that in a relationship that is building. You remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Jeffrey Dahmer killed a lot of people. This is what his dad said. "I'll always be there for my boy. in spite of what he's done. What? You know, you think about that. But that's God's love, isn't it? In spite of what we've done, he forgives us. Think about what you've done. And still doing, because we sin. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. But we need to get on our knees and really get it serious with the Lord about that. And he forgives so quickly. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to make you work now. Ephesians 4. It's there. Keep digging. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And here Paul writes to those in Ephesus and says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you have been sealed unto the day of redemption." We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. God, give us a willing spirit to repent so we don't do those two things, grieve or quench his spirit. It's just grieving is, he just, you know, we let him down and we didn't repent. We didn't get it right. We held on to it. We need to turn away from it. The true evidence of your being filled with God's Spirit, the true fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and they will know that you are Christians because of your love to one another. You can't fake this love. You're not a Christian because you witness. You're not a Christian because you pray. You're not a Christian because you go to church. And just because you go to McDonald's, you're not a hamburger. I mean, but I go to church. Big deal. There's a lot of people that go to church and are hellions outside. No, come on. It's because you love one another. I guess the real question this morning is, do you know the Lord? Do you know his love? Have you experienced this great, amazing grace for those who call upon him? Have you been baptized in his love? Because he will baptize you in his love, in his spirit. His spirit will come to live inside of you to change your life and to give you the power to be a Christian. And you need to check yourself out. How am I doing with all this? If you're not sure, then it's time to come and receive his love this morning, to get it right, to humble yourself and just say, "Lord, I repent. I am so sorry. I am going to turn away from this. I'm going to get it right. I want to get out of the world and the mindset of the world. I want to be a Christian. I want to have the mind of Christ." Wow. That is a challenge in and of itself, but it's not impossible. This book is, you say, "Man, that's a thick book. I mean, I got to read this?" No, you don't got to do anything. But if you get into this and this gets into you, oh man, you're going to be transformed with a renewing of your mind through this word. It's a reprogramming coming, and it's powerful to the last for an eternity, and it'll take you right to the throne of God. So he wants to pour out his love upon you. He wants to bless you this morning. Remember, he said, redeem the time. The days are evil. Don't be stupid. I'm paraphrasing. Don't be foolish. But know the will of the Lord. I mean, how many of us really want to know the will of the Lord? And the will of the Lord is, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. You know, don't do the world thing. Don't be a sipping saint. That's a bad witness. Because when you're drinking alcohol and anybody sees you and they know you're a Christian, they're going to say, "Hey, he's a Christian. He drinks all the time, man. He has one after work and he has one at the margarita, this Mexican meal and all this stuff." Be careful. Be careful. You're messing around. There's so many scriptures that says that's a bad witness. Paul said, I won't take anything that would change my mind in the least little bit and bring me under its bondage eventually, because alcohol does that, and so do drugs. So we're not to go there. He says, don't, and this is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. You can just read about it. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, not with wine, but with God's Spirit. Be a Christian. Be a cup that's lifted up. Let him fill it up. That's what he wants to do this morning with every single one of us. He wants to minister to us. One more scripture, 1 John 3:23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Write it down. He says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us." So this whole thing ends up by obeying his commandment, loving one another, and by doing that, he is abiding in us, or we couldn't do that. And in doing that, we know we have the Spirit living in us. If you love your enemy and do good to those that despitefully use you and abuse you and call you all manner of evil, and you just back off, man, you know you got the Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ. And he gives us that. It's not like you have to, you know, go off in a convent and, you know, stay there for years and years and years and then come out as a holy person. No, it's you just need to be an open vessel for the Lord to fill. And he wants you to be available. Are you available to be used? Listen, we got a lot of things that you know, we need people to kind of disinfect this place between services. We need ushers. We need security. This church needs a whole lot of people to be involved, and you can get involved. We've got things we're going to start giving to you more and more in the bulletin as it grows, of ministries to get involved in. And it helps you to get more planted and grounded. Sunday mornings, definitely not enough. It's a good start, but not enough. He wants to fill us with his love and his Spirit. So now that there's a lot of time on a lot of people's agendas, you know, it's time to serve him. What can we do? We can go out and witness to the neighborhood. We can go out and pass bulletins out and just talk with people about Jesus. I mean, that's awesome. We have a team that does that every week. So I think it comes down to this. You need to believe and then just simply receive, and he'll do the rest. That's not a big deal, is it? Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and he's the Lord. And believe that he shed his blood on Calvary for you, and receive his Spirit.
Believe and receive. I like that. It's a good way to sum things up, isn't it? You know, we've been talking about what we're to be doing in the last days here today on Sound Doctrine. And this is part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's study in 1 Peter. Now let me pass along to you our toll-free number, which you can use to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. It's 800-353-7553. By the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, get a hold of us at 800-353-7553 or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. More and more people these days are accessing teaching through their mobile devices. If that's you, check out our app. Do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. Jesus knew that his death would satisfy. He also knew that each one of us would have to make a choice. It's a frightful thing to die without hope and be unprepared to face the consequences of living a reckless life. At the same time, it's a glorious thing to die in hope of eternal life, to trust the victory Christ won on the cross when he uttered his final words, "It is finished." Today, we'd like to get a timely resource into your hands written by Calvary Chapel pastors. It's a book called Because He Lives. We'll send it your way for a suggested donation of $5. We can walk you through the ordering process at 800-353-7553. 7553 or get it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Please also remember that it's your financial support that helps to make these studies possible on your station and others like it. Your contribution is an investment in the lives of so many listeners that make it their aim to build their lives on the sound doctrine contained in the Bible. So thank you very much. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click donate, or call 800-353-7553. Well, there's much more to come in this book of 1 Peter. Make plans to join us each day as together we open and study the Word with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,